in for a treat. And not just because you have Eric and Linda back coming at you with all of the local theater updates and news, but we have a guest in the studio. It is his first time as a guest, and then we might be talking about other first times for him, but we have Benny Zilke joining us from the Station Theater's production of Tick, Tick, Boom. Welcome to see you at the show, Benny.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so you have not been at the 3 year, or in the 3.5 years we've been on the air, we've never talked to you, even though you've been a fixture. It's true. I mean, and it's possible that even this all-star Zilke family has never had a representative on See You at the Show. So that's probably our loss and our bad.
It is both of those things, yes.
So we are paying penance today in the form of giving Benny a full license to talk about his theater history and the exciting stuff that he's working on right now. So Benny, tell us about your life in local Central Illinois theater. We're so interested.
Yeah. So like, as you mentioned, I have been around the block in this town. I started doing theater here with the Champaign Park District when I was like 7, and then I never stopped. I counted it once. I did 54 shows in this town before I went to college, which was probably too many, but I loved it.
No such thing as too many.
Maybe a little bit for like my parents' mental health driving me everywhere and having to see every single show, no matter how bad. But
yes.
I somehow never did a show with the station, though. I worked a lot with CUTC and CPD and high school productions, a lot around town. And then I majored in acting at Millikan University. I almost forgot where I went. I just graduated from there in May. So that probably is why I haven't been on here, is because I've been in Decatur instead of Champaign. But I am graduated now, and I am pursuing a career in film writing, acting, directing, and also continue to do theater in LA. I'm moving at the end of December, so I'm very excited for that.
Awesome. Well, you'll have to look up my oldest, Parker, when you're out there. There's so many transplants to LA recently from the Champaign-Urbana area. And in fact, Parker is living with 3 other friends, and they're all theater people that they did theater here in town, and now they're all in LA. So you'll have friends there already. So I'm excited for you, but we will take full advantage of having you here while we have you.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what was your degree in at Millikan?
So I majored in acting. I had a music minor. I did the choir and the bands and all that. But I basically had a film minor as well, because I got really heavy into film and started a film company there, and got, like, that was my focus the last 2 years, was really just bringing film to that campus.
I've always been curious about the theater program and acting program at Millikan, because I've toured their space and it's just a beautiful theater. We have never covered a show there for See You at the Show, but what can you tell us about your experience in the acting and theater department at Millikan?
Yeah, the space you saw was only built 2 years ago. It's very new to the program, but it's like really state of the art, and the program is really excellent. My professors, I swear by my professors, they really taught me so much, and the technique is really good, and I even got to do a show in that theater my last semester there. I did Romeo and Juliet and played Benvolio, and that was like a transformative experience. It was great.
So how does Benny Zilke, with a acting degree from Millikan, how is that person in a better spot than if Benny Zilke had just gone out to LA after high school?
That is a very good question. I have a lot more connections now. The main thing though is I got confident in myself. I have like technique to fall back on if I'm having a bad day. It's not just like, oh, I'm not feeling very emotional, so I can't act. It's like, it really, I learned the technique of it all. I learned how to really make it a craft. And like, I really did learn how to network and connect with people and like make my own work and not just have to depend on people giving me jobs. So that was huge.
Well, and since you're not going to be on the stage at the Station Theater, you're directing, what sort of directing experience do you have, either just experiential or also classroom?
Yeah, I got to Millikan and wasn't being cast much my first year because freshman. So I started directing cabarets. I wrote like a one-act play. And then in my junior and senior year, I started a film company and directed a couple short films there. So I got a lot of experience, probably more experience directing than I did up on the stage at Millikan, which was really cool for me. It really taught me so much about how to like collaborate with people and not just like steamroll others' thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So do you still want to act, or are you more interested in directing and writing?
I want to do all of them. And people are often like, well, you got to pick one when you start out, but
I don't.
And I love art in general. And so I'm just going to throw everything I got at the wall and see what sticks. But I want like a fully fulfilling career for me would be to be able to do all of them.
Awesome. I love that. So you are one of the younger directors at the Station Theater. Mm-hmm. I think we've only had maybe one person, Saskia Bakker.
Yes, Saskia.
Yeah. I produced and stage managed for her. She did a show pre-COVID, she was the youngest director then. And so you might be the second youngest director at the Station Theater, which is really great. I love that that the station's getting more people involved there. And you have so much experience, they're lucky to have you. So can you tell us more about Tick Tick Boom?
Yeah, the whole process has like literally been a joyride. This is my first time directing a musical, like a full-blown musical. I've done plays and cabarets, but I've never done the whole thing. So I was a little bit nervous, but I got set up with like the greatest team. My stage manager's great, my producers, my cast, my music director. We have Sitzprobe tonight, so I haven't heard the pit, but I know they're amazing. Like I know their reputations. So I was able to walk in and just do my thing and trust that everybody else was a pro around me. And also nobody batted an eye at the fact that I was 22 and my actors are all older than me. They all just like they respect each other, they respect me, and they just come in and do the work every day.
Yeah.
I mean, how did you get connected with Tick Tick Boom? Was that something that you requested, or did you just put in and saying you'd like to direct and they came to you about this show?
So Jackie Lowenstein is like old family friend of mine and reached out that like they wanted to do a musical in this slot, and they were thinking about like they were still taking submissions. And she asked me to submit what I might want to direct. And so I said this and then a couple others, but this is the one that I wanted to direct. So I'm very glad that they picked it.
Yeah, it's great that all worked out. And you said the actors have been great. Well, you chose some amazing actors from auditions, like Kimmy Schofield and Cedric Jones are just amazing. We've worked with them before. And so you really can't go wrong. And the rest of the cast looks great too. So I can just imagine what a great experience this has been for all of you.
Yeah. And it was very fun for me. I've had like a talent crush on like Kimmy and Cedric from a distance, but I've never worked with any of these people before. So it was really fun to kind of come back to this town and to new people, but still have that same like connection and community.
Right.
Yeah, so Aaron Godwin is in the lead role as John, and we haven't covered him before, and it looks like he kind of has more of a classical like kind of training with is he mostly a singer at University of Illinois, or what's his background?
Yeah. So I had the same thought like when he came in and I saw his resume, and his background is like he's really studied like vocal performance and had a bunch of opera and stuff on his resume. And so I was like, oh, we're getting an opera guy. But then he came in and like sang rock. So that was really cool. And he has blown me away with his acting as well through this process.
I was a big, Rent is what I attribute my whole interest in theater and especially musical theater to. And so when I saw the movie Tick, Tick, Boom, I've never seen the musical. I think I cried almost the whole time, and crying in a movie, as Linda will tell you, is not a big thing for me because it happens all the time. But that one, it was just so sentimental and so beautiful. And it just made me think about Rent, made me think about Jonathan Larson, made me think about my life and mortality and what one wants to aspire to and all this. But do I even have a question, or am I just making a speech? So tell me, if I love the movie, what am I getting differently in the musical?
So the musical is very different, I would say. The songs are all the same, the general plot is the same, but the style is so different because originally it was done with just three actors and they're playing all the roles all the time, like they never get to leave the stage kind of show. I expanded the cast a little bit to give people some breathing room, and like, because I had so many great auditioners, I couldn't really just pick three. But it's still, it's very black box. It's very like, there's not going to be elaborate sets. You're going to be in a diner, and the only way you know is they're wearing aprons. But I do love, like, the thing that theater can do that film kind of can't is that you have to imagine it and you have to be there with them. They're going to be very interactive with the audience. The show is just going to flow really seamlessly.
All right, so Benny, now that you've got us excited about seeing Tick, Tick, Boom, let us know how we can see it. It's at the Station Theater. When do you open, and when are the shows going to take place?
Yeah, so we open really soon. September 22nd is opening night, and we run for 3 weekends, closing October 9th. There will be evening shows Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30 p.m., and then Sunday matinees at 3.
That's so great to have a 3-week run of a musical like this. And you talked a little bit about how the station was using its space. How many people do you plan on seating?
And I should know that answer. We tried to expand the seating as much as possible because it's going to be a show that everyone's going to want to come see. But I think I would guess, like, definitely no more than 100, less than that.
Is there any sort of seating on the wings? Are you doing anything like creatively to shape the space?
Yeah, so there's two sides of the audience. There's like, right when you come in, there's a house left, and then house right is the main space that's usually seating, but we added some extra on the side.
Oh, wow. So seating on both sides, and that's going to give the cast a lot of creativity to play, or you, I guess, as the director.
Okay.
All right. Well, Benny, thanks for coming on See You at the Show. We can't wait. So thanks a lot for coming on See You at the Show, and good luck with this production. We're so happy. So excited.
Thanks for having me.
But there's also more theater going on around.
Wait, what? There is? It's not just.
And I know that we've plugged it multiple times, but I'm really sad that I haven't been able to get over to Bloomington to see Suddenly last summer at Heartland Theater. We still have a chance. It runs through September 17th. So I'm hoping to get over there tomorrow night. Well, actually, if you're listening, I'm hoping you get there Thursday night. So it'd be tonight. We are doing this piecemeal, people. I have to like plug us just for a second that we have put so much into trying to continue these shows in a very piecemeal way with Parker, our editor in California. Eric spending the majority of his time in Wisconsin for work, and I'm stuck in Illinois, or happily in Illinois, however you want to look at it. And so we're really trying here. So everybody be super patient. And anything.
Yeah, you think with all that work, we'd come up with a better show than so, because you're right. I mean, it has been, you know, a lot of people doing a lot of work to come up with something that is, you know, sadly not reflective of its effort. But yes, as Linda said, we care. We don't want to, you know, run back anniversary shows or last week's shows when there's actually current stuff going on, whether we're having a hard time seeing it or not. These are our people. These are our theaters we want to support. We love Heartland, Pipe Dreams, Cranor, Red Mask, Illinois Theater, Station, CTC, all of these, you know, great places doing great work. And so we're not going to stop, you know, whatever we have to do.
We're doing our best here, as we always have been, especially, I mean, for the majority of the time that our show's been on the air, because now it's been, so I think it's been 30 weeks since the pandemic hit us. So
you mean months, babe.
Yeah, sorry, 30 months. Sorry. I'm so incredibly exhausted, people. Sorry, 30 months since the pandemic hit us. So I was just amazed by that number. So
yeah.
So the majority of the time that we've been on the air now has been.
God, I mean, yeah, we crossed majority even a while ago, which is hard to believe because so the show started in like March of 2019. It was really just a 1 year deal, really. Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's anyway. Hard to believe. Anyway, suddenly last summer, a great song by the Motels, which everybody, wait a minute, we're talking about the Tennessee Williams Play or the song?
Tennessee Williams Play.
Oh, but that song's been in my head ever since I started thinking about the show.
So also we have coming up Pure Imagination by CUTC. It's Penguin Project. We will close out the show with a very, very, very short snippet, like a 30-second snippet of the Penguin Project group singing their finale Freak Flag from Shrek. So
I think we featured Penguin Project 2 or 3 times on the show. It's a really if you're not familiar with it, you can go to CTC page and find out more. I'm sure there's links to Nationwide Penguin Project and the effort that it is to, you know, bring differently abled people to theater spaces with the kind of the guidance of other young people who usually have theater experience. It's been a really magical thing to watch.
Yes. And some of my,
this is the first time it's been so you've talked to Jackie Lowenstein about this. Pure Imagination is kind of more of a cabaret style.
Yes. This show has been the most you've stepped on me, I think, ever in the history of us doing the show together.
Well, at least I'm not sending you nasty messages in between on our Zoom chat.
When you play with your pen, it picks up. So don't play with your pen. I can hear this, like, click, click, click. And I'm like looking all over going, where's that clicking coming from?
It's Tennessee Williams. It's railroad background music. Come on.
So we're talking about Penguin Project. Yes. And especially my eldest Parker was a mentor for Penguin Project for, I think a couple years, and so many people have come away from it, whether a penguin or a mentor, and really, it's really touched a lot of lives here locally. So it's a very worthwhile group to support. September 15th through September 18th at the Urbana High School Theater, which is a fun place to watch a show. So definitely check that out. My friend Penny Woolwine is the musical director. Is it music director or musical director? I'm so tired. For Penguin Project this year. So Jackie Lowenstein and Penny are working together on that. And I think they are an amazing duo. So I hope that they continue to work together. I kind of helped the synergy on that. So I'm excited that they're working together. And then Queering the Golden Age Cabaret. I just noticed this recently from Pipe Dream Studio in Decatur. Yes. September 17th and September 18th. It sounds super fun.
Yeah. I'm just going to read the description of it because it's really cool.
Yeah.
The Queering the Golden Age Cabaret opens this Friday at Pipe Dream Studio Theater with a cast from both SODAD, which I don't know what that is, but it's something Milliken-y, and School of Music. This cabaret takes the beautiful music of Broadway's golden age and gives it a queer twist, with reimaginings ranging from anonymous grinder dates to awkward GSA meetings. The cast and crew has been having an absolute blast cooking this up, and we are so excited to see you there. Now, cabarets with that kind of imagination are the best.
I know. I really, really would wish I could make it. I wish it was.
I know. I wish It seems like something like this could also be easily streamed, and or just kind of made available somehow to those who couldn't make it in person. But always great to see Pipe Dreams. We were just talking with, that was one thing I actually wanted to bring up with Benny, was whether, what his kind of like affiliation or relationship, if any, was with Pipe Dreams, because it's really cool to have a kind of a musical, what would you call them? A musical or a theater company at a school that is outside of the school itself. So,
right.
I mean, I will always support them, and I really want to do better by getting over and seeing some of their work.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. And we'll probably have Benny on again before Benny leaves for LA. So, Benny, if you're listening, we definitely want to pick your brain about that too. Also, Theater 7 in Decatur has something rotten. I know they are doing something rotten, and that is coming up in October. So we don't have that on our list yet, but since we were talking about Decatur, I thought I would mention.
Yeah, that harkens back to our first post-pandemic show.
Right. It's at the Decatur Civic Center, which we've actually been to. So
yeah, really amazing. That was like a unexpected little jewel of a theater. Not little jewel, big jewel.
It's a big
jewel. We did not know anything about that. All right, going down our list, and you can see this all. Let's see you at the show.com and our Now Playing tab for everything going on now and in the future in Central Illinois. And we have The Joy of Regathering at Cranert, and that's a Latrell Bright project. So you know it's going to be good. You know it's going to be relevant. What else do you know about it, Linda?
You know it's going to be awesome. Yeah. And it's only one night, and it's at 7:30. So, what else do I know about it?
You filled in the blanks.
The Joy of Regathering considers who we are from the microscopic entities that compose us, to what makes us human, to the astronomical realm that we inhabit. That's just like such a sentence. Gathering is the focus, coming together after a long separation as voices, travelers of the globe, as molecules of life within organisms, as stars, galaxies within the universe. I mean, like, how could you not want to go see something? It says something like that. And can I also say, like, I'm exhausted. So I'm so sorry for all of you.
It's too bad. This seems like something that should be airing as late as it is that we're recording. So that we would have more like-minded people listening rather than
I know.
We should
move our show time into like the wee hours of the night, which is
and then we could conceivably get away with a little more profanity on the show, which is something I'm always
that's what
to
we want
to
do. We need more profanity on our show.
I know, we need that little E square to be by our show.
Well, you're gonna hear some profanity if you keep messing with your pen.
I'm not messing with my pen. This is my cape.
We're on Zoom together right now, so it's lovely. And
really healthy for our relationship.
It's all good. It's great.
And then the next thing Illinois Theater Project has coming up, also at Cranert, is The Darkling at Nightfall.
Which also sounds amazing. But that's September 21st through the 23rd.
Right. And Lisa Gay Dixon is directing it. Does she ever stop directing stuff?
I don't know. She and Latrell are so busy. I just don't know they're amazing goddesses that never sleep.
I click on the link on our now showing page, because I mean, I don't know how to describe this show. It's wild.
Right.
Very, very, very wild.
I talked about it on a show that you weren't on. So I kind of went
It's a supernatural fairy tale.
Right. It's going to be awesome.
It seems amazing.
And then Bleacher Bums is at Red Mask Players September 17th through the 18th. And Muthvash is at Urbana High School September 22nd through the 23rd. That is the high school group's kind of cabaret type of thing.
I know we're not supposed to talk about money on our show, but I will give you $10 if you remember why it's called Muthvash.
Do you remember?
No, but if you comb the archives of our show, you could find out, because we...
So are we going to give $10 to, are you saying to me or listeners?
No, to you. But this is why we should do live shows and we should take call-ins, because, yeah, I would be super impressed. Although Urbana High School has enough alums, I'm sure, that are avid listeners, that everybody knows what Muthvash is. It sounds kind of, you know, if I had to guess, it would be the, who's the window vibers come, the vibier windows from Sesame Street. If he was saying mouthwash, I think he'd say something like Muthvash.
Oh, right, yeah. I think you might have made that joke when we talked about it before.
Wait, you're accusing me of recycling? That's harsh.
You're always funny, though. You're always funny. Okay.
Even the second or tenth time around.
And then we've already talked about Tick, Tick, Boom, September 22nd through October 9th at the Station Theater. And then another thing I'm super excited about, of course, it's Coalescence. They have Jane, Abortion, and The Underground, and it is streaming the month of October. Just please, please, please click on it and learn more about that, because it just sounds very interesting and very needed. So, and it's cool to have, it was cool to go and see a show in person for Coalescence, but I love how when it's online that and streaming event that it can reach out to people from all over and you don't have to travel to go see it. So it's a dramatic documentary of Chicago's revolutionary feminist abortion service and its roots in 1965 through 1973. And I was just listening to NPR and an extremely informative discussion about like women's history. And I'm like gonna share my age on the air, which I probably shouldn't do, but going back to 1971, which is the year of my birth, and how few rights women had in 1971 is kind of mind boggling. And so how far we've come and maybe how far backward we're gonna go. So we'll see. So I think shows like this are super important. I'm getting off my soapbox now.
We know, I mean, I'm curious about when this, we know that the time period where this show is set is 65 to 73, and we know that it's gonna be streamed 2022, but when it was written and when it was performed isn't clear to me. I'm curious about that. Mm-hmm. But this is a fundraiser event. We can't talk prices, but we can't say that all ticket sales going towards this will go to the work of Women's Reproductive Rights Assistance Project, which is as important as a resistance sort of movement can be at this stage of the game.
Well, we'll just have to get Coalescence on our show before October so they can
explain. Hey, Coalescence.
Right. We're happy to have you on the show again. You should bookmark Coalescence and just keep a abreast of what's going on with them at all times, or just listen to our show because we're pretty much going to update you.
And see you at the show.com is always current, always relevant.